the most relevant and stimulating arts programmes on any Dublin radio station. Dublin City FM.
Happiness is love. Happiness is love. Love make you keep happy. You can't just love yourself and you don't love other people. You got to love people. And the love is right there. It make you feel happy to know that you're my neighbor. And I love you. And you could able to come over today to invite me over. What do you think that is? I'm feeling happy.
Same.
Yes.
Simple recipe, I guess.
Yes, I'm feeling happy to know that, you know, somebody cares. And that's a big love. You know, I can come out through the door and I say, good morning. What make you feel so happy, right? Oh, love. That's what I find it is. Make you happy. I come out in the morning, I see Mr. Gary. I can say, good morning, Mr. Gary. I can sit and talk to him because I'm happy. I can go back in and I can smile and say, oh, we were changing thought this morning. Hey? So nice. So good. I love that. Love make you happy.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Artbeat with myself, Des Fitzgerald. Tonight, appropriately enough for a radio programme, we're going to look at the extraordinary growth in speech and art radio programming over recent years. This weekend sees Sounds Alive, Dublin's audio festival, take place in the Freemasons Hall. And I'm delighted to welcome Julian Clancy from Sounds Alive to the programme. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Des.
Now, welcome along. We've just had a very short introduction to some of the sort of audio that that turns you on and the sort of thing that people can come to expect in the festival next weekend. How have you become interested in this and how would you sort of describe this kind of radio?
Well, I just introduced that first piece because it's quite a unique piece of audio, and I suppose it's really what turned me on to this whole idea of spoken word and radio and stories being as much about music and even the voice, the human voice itself having its own natural sense of musicality. And that's a track called Mrs. Morris from an album by a guy called Charles Spearn, who was in a Brooklyn social scene. And what he did basically was he went around interviewing his neighbours in his neighbourhood and asking them what do they think was the meaning of happiness. And he got some amazing, recordings. But what was more spectacular was that he brought these recordings home and then he started kind of mapping out the rise and fall, the intonation, the cadence of each of the people's voice, just as they were speaking normally. And then start mapping that on the piano, on the saxophone, and created these amazing, lush, beautiful pieces. And that, for me, is kind of what is at the heart of Sounds Alive. It's this perfect harmony of voice, of sound, of story, all coming together to bring something, to bring the listener, I suppose, somewhere where they weren't really expecting to go.
Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit more in a moment about some of the sort of the technologies that have made a lot of this possible and this moving away from the sort of mainstream broadcasting arena. But you've brought a number of pieces for us to dip into over the course of the programme. Tell us about your next choice.
Well, the next choice is from 2005. And again, this is one of the very first pieces that I ever heard that again really hammered home that point that maybe radio is a little bit limiting for people to go out and start recording stories through sound, because why can't you combine music? Why can't you bring musicians and storytellers together and radio people together? Maybe radio producers, independent radio producers, they are maybe that link that can really do that. So this next piece is really going to demonstrate that. It's features two independent radio producers with the artist Sufjan Stevens. So the producers are called Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister, and they basically heard about the story of this bird. It was a giant cuckoo, for all intents and purposes, that they believed had gone extinct, but then it had reappeared in this area called Brinkley in Arkansas, I think. And it just brought back vitality. It brought back amazing energy to the small, tiny, remote little village that was really going through really bad times through the recession. It was a huge emigration of young people in the area. So the independent radio producers went along, got interviews from all the local residents and then gave those interviews to Siphian Stevens, which is back in 2005, back when he was starting to do his one album for every state in the country, which never really kind of came to pass, but this is from around that era. So the piece you're going to hear that is, again, that kind of perfect combination of story and sound.
Truth was, I was a little bit ticked off at first, you know, because here I am, been out here fishing and hunting for some 40 years, and then all of a sudden they say you can't set foot on this property.
Wildlife officials also trying to protect the bird's habitat by closing 5,000 acres of popular fishing and hunting areas. KRK4.
But, you know, after thinking about the bird and what it could do for this area, possibly bring into the economy, into this town and surrounding towns, sure, I'm for it. But if the bird watchers can watch, the hunters ought to be able to hunt. And the fishermen ought to be able to fish. That's my opinion.
And the hunters beware, or the fishers fall. In paradise might close from its safe flight flood. It's the great God birth through it all.
Great order.
Let me have your rib special.
Rib special, you want it dry or with sauce?
Welcome to Gene's Barbecue.
Home of the yellow-billed woodpecker.
No, it's
ivory.
Ivory bill.
You got your shirts in, I love them. Oh, I love that. That looks really good.
Well, on the front it says Gene's Barbecue and Restaurant. The back says home of the ivory-billed burger. The bird is the word.
Well, it's two big hamburger patties, two slices of mozzarella cheese, pepper bacon, and a sesame seed bun.
Gene's had this ivory-billed cheeseburger. We said, well, if they can have a cheeseburger, I can have a haircut. Woodpecker haircut, $25. It'll come to a point at the top, fire engine red. And then the back and sides are tight with black on that and then a little bit of white in the front. Kind of copying his nose a little bit, you know.
You know, you got to realize we're here in the Delta. We're right next door to the poorest county in the whole United States. And we have been wanting something, praying for an industry.
We're here on the interstate halfway between Memphis and Little Rock, and we are.
So Julian, we were touching there on while that piece was playing out about the fact that all this technology has made it very approachable for people to go out and record these sorts of voices and you know, move away, step away from the mainstream and the mainstream channels. The last number of years have been quite revolutionary, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it's the introduction of the smartphone technology. I think that's completely revolutionized, because people are spending an awful lot more time listening to stuff. I mean, all you have to do is sit down in Dublin bus and look around at your fellow commuters and see who is listening to what. And I think people are hungry for, you know, stories. They're hungry for music. They're hungry for sound. And I think radio has really benefited from that, especially the whole independent sector, because you have so much more freedom that you can do online. On, you know, putting something up on SoundCloud, then you can do maybe with something that's going to put out on the radio, where it's you know, you have your guidelines. It has to fit in with the station. It has to be XYZ. With the internet and with SoundCloud and, you know, other kind of apps, you can really do anything. And I think that's really at the heart, again, of what Sounds Alive is trying to encourage, is people to just start, get out there and get messy with sound. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, you know, beautiful. The pieces we're playing today are obviously these amazing, eloquent and really stunning pieces of audio. But they all started with a really crap piece of audio, you know, with somebody experimenting on their own and then realizing, no, that doesn't work. So let's try something else. And like all of these pieces, they are all really born from somebody who was, you know, had an idea. The idea was born from passion. And then they just worked really hard to kind of perfect that. And what you hear now is, you know, those stunning pieces of audio.
And of course, that brings me on to the point about, you know, a lot of these things are sort of under the wire. And I guess that's part of the modus operandi for Sounds Alive and other individuals who are this element of, and the word is much overused, and I'm not sure I like it very much, but curation. Showing people where, I mean, there's so much out there, it's sometimes hard to know where to find it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
Or is that part of it's serendipitous?
No. It's look. It's you can if you ask anybody, you said, listen, you want to come into a room and listen to a bunch of radio stories. 9 times out of 10, they'll say, why the hell would I want to do that? I mean, if I just want the radio, I can just turn it on. But there's a very different world between, you know, turning on your radio and then this whole area of kind of crafted documentary and audio features. I mean, it's as different from like turning on your, you know, TV and watching Coronation Street as it is to, you know, something like HBO. There's the whole point of it is that there is this huge world of independent radio productions that are out there, and Sounds Alive is just kind of trying to push people in that right direction and broaden their horizons a little bit.
And I suppose we have people listening to this program tonight who may be driving or, you know, doing the washing up or, you know, putting kids to bed. So it's a different sort of attention.
It's a very different experience.
You
know,
you do have to pay attention to this stuff, really.
Well, it's, I mean, as I said, if you sat down and you watch something on your laptop, you know, while, you know, you're doing your dishes or, I don't know, doing something else at home, it's a completely different experience than going into a cinema or going to a theater to see a play. What Sounds Alive does is it invites audiences to come together to listen to these places in some amazing spaces. So I mean, we started off, that was the key to it, was you know, the combination of the space, the sounds and the audience all really kind of coming together to create this experience. So we've done everything from we started off in this space called Red Space, and that was like an artist studio with beautiful wooden features upstairs in it. It was really comfy, and that's where we did like one of the last recordings of Donald Deneen's show on Today FM before it was actually cancelled. And then the following year, we were in my old landlady's house upstairs in her drawing room. She was Oscar Wilde's former tutor's home. So this really big, Georgian, beautiful, grand splendor. And now this year, we're, you know, bringing all that to sounds or to the Freemasons again, which is a really, really stunning space.
A remarkable building, yes. Mm. And I've been there on a tour, and you certainly, by the sounds of it, from the day's events, you'll get quite a period to wallow in its surroundings, which is not often available either, is it?
Yeah, well, this on Saturday, that's what it's really all about. Like, during the daytime, I mean, I suppose, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking more and more about this, and I really want it to be like an art gallery, like a gallery of sound and story, where people can wander from room to room, find out a little bit about the pieces of audio that are being played. So the idea being that these are obviously open, free to the public as well. So you go in, you go upstairs, and there's 3 rooms that will be set up, and they have curated playlists by everybody from the Science Gallery to some of our favourite radio producers, playing 1 hour long curated playlists, maybe like 10 minute chunks of amazing radio. And the idea being you wander, you go from room to room, you know, you maybe sit down, you relax in some of the most amazing spaces that are in Dublin, and hopefully you bring something home with you that you want to find out more about these radio programs.
Okay, well, we'll get into some more of the detail of some of the weekend's events, but I think it's time for another clip.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for, this is the kind of stuff, yeah, one of the curators that we've asked to play is a guy called Nick van der Kolk, who produces a podcast called Love and Radio. And this was one of the other pieces that I think really captures that whole renaissance of radio and independent productions. That started off as a podcast, you know, pretty challenging radio for a lot of people. You won't hear this really on commercial radio, and it's more the podcast, I think, that is, it's the program has found its voice. But it tells the story of a guy called Jay Thunderbolt, and it's called The Wisdom of Jay Thunderbolt.
So, Noah.
Yeah.
Can you describe what Thunderbolt's house looked like after we arrived?
It's got like this like 70s furniture that's really well worn. The carpet's all kind of matted down. It's got this really nice table in the corner, like a 6-legged table or something that he brought up, how his parents had handed that down to him with the house. He's got a computer to the right of one couch that he puts up a slideshow of girls doing shows, and he's got a coffee table in front of us with ashtrays and maybe a coffee cup that hasn't been washed yet. Dimly lit. I think he had like the curtains closed on all the windows, so there was some sun coming through. Kind of dim and dusty. It didn't seem like, it didn't smell like there was like stains on the floor. It just smelled like it had been lived in, and an air hadn't been going through there for a long time. So it's just kind of claustrophobic. I don't know.
And just who is he? What does he do?
Jay runs a strip club out of his house.
Good afternoon, Thunderbolt Entertainment. Hi, Derrico. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Other than owning the strip club, fake strip club, he is the bouncer, he's the DJ, accountant, basically he's the party planner. He does everything.
You guys got any money on you? You want some dances?
Besides the dancing.
I was trying to
scare. You're a fucked snickers, aren't you? No, they don't want any dances. Give me a call in 2 hours, dear. Because I'm going to throw them the fuck out when this bottle of... This bottle's almost gone now. All right. Bye.
You're listening to Artbeat on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Des Fitzgerald. We're halfway through the programme and I'm joined again by Julian Clancy of Sounds Alive Festival. Julian, that was a terrific piece of radio. Tell us more about it.
Okay, so that is an unlikely, I suppose, an anti-hero that you wouldn't normally expect to hear on the radio, produced by a podcast called Love and Radio, produced by Nick van der Kolk, sound designed by Brendan Baker. And that was a pretty historic piece in that it won, it was the very first ever podcast to win gold at the Third Coast Audio International Festival, their awards, which is extremely prestigious. It's like the Sundance of film, I suppose, Sundance of radio over in the States. And that is kind of the example of one of the pieces that people will be able to hear, the kind of 10 minute, like a chapter almost, from these radio stories during the daytime on the Saturday in the Freemasons, where all three rooms are going to be particularly, will be filled with these amazing stories.
Let's talk a little bit more about the day. You have a number of headlining events which are at this stage very pleasingly for you, no doubt, sold out.
It's frustrating. We wish we had a bigger venue because
That might be the trouble, though, wouldn't it? If you were talking about the intimate spaces that you have used in the past, maybe you need to reach a point. I don't know. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time, I'm sure. Watch out, O2 Arena next. Yeah. But if we talk about the main guts of the festival is the day-long event on Saturday, next Saturday. So I suppose paint a little picture for people if they come in the door at 10 o'clock for that.
So it's going to start pretty early. I mean, we're starting, if you go to the website, you'll find the exact times and details of when everything is starting. But it's going to be a combination of two series of events. There'll be the Grand Lodge, which is the biggest room in the Freemasons, and it's a really spectacular looking room. That's going to play host to a series of talks and workshops and listening sessions and discussions. So Doc on One, they're one of the very famous documentaries, one of the most popular ever documentaries, is a program called Don't Go Far, which has that interesting story of two children who escaped onto a plane and ended up running away from home and ended up on the other side of the Atlantic.
It's a super piece. I actually listened to it again today. I was very keen to re-listen. Beautifully captured. In a way, it's a big story, but it's quite a slight story, and they've done a great job sort of making that and creating sounds around it and a sense of the era as well.
Well, one voice, you know, I mean, there's only one main character really telling a story, and that's Keith Byrne, who'll be joining us on the day as well.
And he was one of the reprobates, one of the streetwise kids, as he called himself. He was 10.
He's 10 at the time. Yeah, so he'll be joining us kind of talking about what it's like to have that story put on the airwaves. Then we have from the following night, the preceding night, Friday, we have one of the world's biggest storytelling organisations, The Moth, which is completely sold out, unfortunately, but we're going to be doing a storytelling workshop, because The Moth are going to be introducing a series of story slams, which is the legendary night where the audience are asked to volunteer stories, get up on stage and tell a story, personal, true, and it has to be told on stage without any cheat sheets or notes or anything like that. So the story slam workshop, which will be taking place from 12 to 1 in the Grand Lodge, that's going to tell people about why would they want to do this,
you know, how to fly by the seat of their pants,
pretty much, you know, because the main event, the nature of those events, you are given like 5 minutes notice, your name is pulled out of the hat, and then you are put up. So it's a pretty scary but a wonderful experience, and they have a lot of great stories of people who started off the story slams, who've gone on to the main stage, which is their huge big storytelling nights, and you know, have really kind of flown from these kind of early beginnings. Then one of the other events that we are so excited about is we wanted to partner up with another organization who we kind of really respect and think are doing fascinating things with sound, and kind of give them a new platform to kind of tell us a little bit about what it is that they are doing. And this year we've chosen the Sonic Arts Research Centre up in Queen's University in Belfast. And there's a number of events that's happening there that we're pretty excited about. SARC are basically going to have their own dedicated space to talk about what it is that they actually do and curate some of their students. Actually, I think you might have somebody on the line.
I think I might indeed. If I press this button, I should have Francesca Schroeder from SARC on the line. Hello, Francesca.
Yeah, you've got me on the line.
Now, great to have you. Thanks for joining us on the program. I suppose a lot of people are not aware very much of what's going on in SARC. That's no fault of your own, I'm sure. But can you paint us a little picture about the sort of work that you do there?
Well, the Sonic Arts Research Centre is a centre dedicated to research into sound. Now, that sounds all very grand, but basically, we are a real great mix of people from performers, composers, sound artists. We have computer scientists, programming, and this sort of interdisciplinary gathering or platform enables us to work across various areas. So we do something like 3D sound for cinema. We do research into 3D sound, cinema projection, for example. But we also, you know, we build instruments. We tell stories with our instruments. We have research seminars and so on. So it's a pretty big center, and it's kind of very strange because it's known internationally very well. Sometimes people in Northern Ireland or in the south of Ireland are not as aware of what we're doing. So it's really a great opportunity for us to be linking with Sound Alive. And thanks to Julian for asking and approaching us. And he's given us an amazing opportunity to showcase three different events. And would you like me to just...
Yeah, well, I have here right in front of me one of the events that you're doing, and it sort of, I suppose, it stands out because so many people were quite obsessed with this festival of kicking around a pig's bladder in Brazil recently. But yeah, you've done some work in the favelas, the slums in Rio, to all tied in with the recent World Cup there.
Well, that's right. This is a couple of sound artists and researchers from SARC, specifically Pedro Bello and Mathilde Meirelles, and they are coming down on Saturday to talk about this, but also to play some of the sound. So the idea was there to spend about 4 months with some of the favelados, people from the favela, and we developed this project basically just thinking about sound of everyday life, what it's like to live in these very makeshift accommodations with people hearing the rain dripping on their beds and on their living room floor. So the 4 months we were working there, just really finding out what is it, what are the sounds that the people of Maré really associate with living in a place like this. Now, the important thing, or the really special thing that happened, not so special for the people there, but is the favela was occupied in March, and really leading up to the World Cup, of course, it was a big political thing of trying to control the favela and specifically the drug gangs there. And it changed the project immensely because all of a sudden it didn't just become about the sounds of the people, but also about the sounds of being invaded, what the favelados really call being invaded. So for them, it was quite a big activity, and for us, of course, too, being all of a sudden surrounded by machine guns and things like that.
And Julian, if I could bring you in to talk a little bit about the other project that you're doing on the day with SARC, and Francesca, you can come in here on this too. But you're going to do a series of soundscapes throughout the Freemasons Hall. What sort of work was involved in that, and what can people kind of expect from that?
Well, yeah. We have three works which Julian and I selected from an open call when most of these people come from our own students, PhD students. Which will be featured in the listening room, so people really can just walk in and in their own time listen to some of these pieces. They're very sort of crafted pieces using different sounds, so there's three different ones. And then in the sort of early evening, the last SARC event, not the last event of the festival, we're doing a performance with a sound sculpture. So a colleague of mine, he's built instruments, and he's bringing one of his bonsai, it's called Bonsai Sound Sculptures, down. And I'm a saxophone player myself, so I'm going to bring down my saxophone, and I've invited another musician. We're basically going to invade the space, the whole Freemasons, and we're going to try and move across different rooms and play with some stories and with sounds and trying to weave together a story which is based on a book. And so this is also featuring a kind of a book launch, but I wanted it to be a bit more performative. And, of course, Julian is all about telling stories, so we didn't want to have an academic, a dry session of reading from the book. So what we're going to do is do a bit of reading, have some snippets, have some sounds, and hopefully have the audience kind of moving through the space with us and making a sound woven piece, so to speak.
Okay, well, Francesca, it sounds absolutely riveting, and I'm looking forward to wandering around and picking up on that. And thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to us today on Artbeat.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, bye-bye.
Was this it?
Where do you start?
It's,
Well, I was born and bred in Derry, and I love it. I think Derry's great. Why a lot of people don't like it, but I think it's great.
Derry, it's a big part of me, and we're Derry boys, and we're from there, and that's how we met, and that's how this sort of fostered and started.
Originally from Derry, since I was about 3, I think, and I've moved about, but always been in the city.
Lived in the one house for 18 years.
It's amazing.
Green and pleasant. It's definitely got
gorgeous
history about it.
But people are great. People's where it's at.
A lot of things to learn. You can spend your whole life in Derry and know every street and every corner and not know, you know, the history behind it, the culture.
What's the people like?
All I ever got here was chips and tea.
Well, the people that I know are very, very, very nice.
A lot of...
Very friendly and chatty. So, I don't know. I think Derry's great. Everyone, like, really, really... Even though it's quite big, the city, people would, like, wave and, like, smile on the street. You know everybody by the end of, like, your secondary school. You know everyone, like...
You knew everybody, you know. You knew everybody through your friends. And if you're in Derry, you were... Everybody knows everyone. You know, you went to a school together, or, you, like, somebody's girlfriend went to this school and you hung out in town, you went to gigs together.
That's the sounds there of Derry, Londonderry, and that's going to feature work in this coming weekend at the Sounds Alive Festival. And I'm just joined by Julian Clancy for another minute or so. Julian, we're going to wrap up. Fascinating sounds there.
Tell
me a bit more about that. Yeah,
that is by one of the artists who we put out a call with Sark for people to submit stories and sounds that kind of came together. And that is by a piece called High from a guy called John Darcy. So it's going to be that and two other pieces that are going to be played throughout the day in one of the Sark dedicated room to Sark and the Sonic Arts Research Centre, along with these other two rooms are just basically going to be a combination of all the stories and sounds that you heard today, and they're all free. You know, anybody can basically just come on down, wander upstairs and take a peek if they're curious about seeing the inside of Freemasons and hearing some great stories.
And then we have in the main in the main auditorium we have a series of talks, and we have Women on Air doing an interesting talk.
That is one I'm really, really, really excited about, because yeah, it's about profiling the work of three amazing independent radio producers, Orla Barry, Nuala Macklin and Claire Kinsella. And it'll be presented by Audrey Carfel from RT Radio 1. And it's basically talking about their work, about the stories they've made and the stories behind the story.
And I couldn't not mention, although I know it is sold out, but the Roman Mars event that night now is one of my favourite programmes, the sort of thing I think that appeals to my sensibility. It's completely sold out, and it's the first time he's come to Europe.
That's
that
the
right?
First time, yeah, that he's come to Europe and done a kind of a show like this.
So it's obviously done well enough to warrant a return down the line, I'd imagine.
Well, definitely will. I mean,
it says he with no ticket to go.
It's a case of you know, just trying to find spaces. I mean, I don't think anybody was really prepared for how popular these events would be, but especially, you know, at the weekend, like the amazing lineup with the Fringe Festival have as well. I mean, I just was so surprised to see that these events sell out. But there is an audience out there, because again, because people want to hear stories, whether that's on screen, on stage, you know, or on the air. People just want to kind of come together and hear some great stories, which is what Sounds Alive is all about.
Super. And that's what we'll just wrap up with, a couple of the sort of contact details for people at this stage to still get in touch about the
events that are happening in the Grand Lodge itself. Tickets for that are a fiver, and the rest of the room, the listening rooms, they're all free. So we kind of want this kind of combination of people who've been wandering around the rooms, getting lost, kind of maybe popping their head then into an actual session. But if you go to www.soundsalive.ie for more information, or follow at Jules Out Loud on Twitter.
Great. Well, Julian Clancy, thanks for coming into the programme today and joining us. That's it for Artbeat for this week, and we'll talk to you again next week.